Revelation chapter number 4. It was that's a beautiful song, and that's what God wants you to get right. God desires that. He wants you to come to yourself, and there's only be rejoicing. He's looking for those. I think we talked about that a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, talking about the prodigal son and how the father is just there, and he's waiting. He's seeking. He desires for you to return. Revelation chapter number 4, if you were not here this morning, it is kind of the second part of the message. We'll go over a little bit what we looked at this morning, and we will continue on through the message this evening. We read completely through Revelation 4, excuse me, and Revelation 5 earlier today, and we're not going to read through both chapters, but it gives you a picture of what's going on. And the thought is found in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, the first three words, "Thou art worthy." And it talks about that God is worthy of all, and it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We could spend the whole entire time talking about that, but we're going to try to make it an application to our lives and how that the way we see God is going to change the way we live. The way we see God is going to change, and this is what probably the main part of the message this morning and also tonight is, it's going to change the way we pray. If we see Him high and lifted up, if we see Him someone who is worthy to receive glory and honor and power, if we understand that He has created all things and that for Thy pleasure they are and were created, sometimes people are out there thinking, God cares about my pleasure. God wants me to be happy, and God wants this, and God wants that, and that we care about ourselves. You bring them to this verse and say, you know, God created us, and He created us not for our own pleasure, but for His pleasure. And in Revelation chapter number 5, you have the picture of the Lamb talking about Jesus Christ, the one who was able to redeem us. It says in verse number 9, and they sung a new song, chapter 5, 9, and they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book." No man was able to take the book on the earth, above the earth. There, no man was able to do it, to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So you have from all different types of people's groups, all types, there's representation there, and they're singing this song, and has made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then listen to the description here, the praise that is happening here. Verse 11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And doing some research, one of the commentators says 10,000 was the highest number inside the Greek that's known to the Greek. And to put that out there, it's innumerable. And thousands of thousands, millions, billions, gets that innumerable number, an innumerable audience. And then look what it says in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Verse 13, if you take it for what it says, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. It just gives this picture. And it says in verse 14, and the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. You go back to chapter number 4, and you look what it says in verse number 10. And the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy." And then you can keep on looking at it. And all throughout this, it speaks about a continual praise and worship of God the Father and also God the Son, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And if you see a picture there in a few spots in the Bible, the screen is kind of pulled back just a little bit for us to understand and see what is going on. And it's a continual praise and worship. One preacher put it this way, and sometimes preachers can say things in a harsh way, but sometimes they say things that make you think. And he said, he asked somebody, "Why do you want to go to heaven anyway?" And the person was surprised and stunned. And he says, all you're going to be doing there is worshiping the Lord. You're going to be praising God. So, and if you can't do that here, what's the point of getting to heaven if you're not going to do it here? And it was interesting. And of course, I understand there's not going to be any sickness, not going to be any sorrow, there's not going to be any pain. But we're going to see God, and we're going to see Him for who He is. And our response in that perfect sense is of worship. And the point is, are we going to worship Him here and now? The point is, how are we going to live? If we see Him high and lifted up, a mighty God that is all powerful, that is all knowing, that is all everything, that is completely holy and righteous, and also someone who loves us and can work all things together for good. If we see Him high and lifted up, we're going to be like Isaiah that says, look, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm struggling. God, help me. And then when God says, I have something I want you to do, we're going to say, I'm right here, Lord. Whatever you want. And if you keep on reading in that chapter, Isaiah chapter number 6, He is given a task that is not very, that doesn't sound like much fun. He says, I want you to go. I want you to keep on speaking. I want you to tell the people the truth. They're not going to listen. But I want you to go and I want you to do it anyway. Now, who's going to want to do that? It's when someone sees God high and lifted up and says, you know what? If that's what God wants, He's the one that's created me. I was created for, and it says here, for thy pleasure that they are and were created. I was created by Him and for Him. And whatever He says, whatever He wants, I'm okay with it. And so we looked at that, and I explained to you my experience or my special prayer time with the Lord last Saturday night, not yesterday, the week before, and talked to you about this morning a little bit how living a really crazy busy summer trying to get tons of stuff done and then how getting ready to go into Kids Crusade and Lord is slowing me down. And I know most of you know that I tested positive for COVID in Maine. I had to quarantine even though I didn't feel bad. It was just for about 36 hours. I felt bad, but I had to stop. And I even told you last Saturday I had committed. I said, look, I'm going to give this day to you. And Friday I didn't do as much as I wanted to, but worked Saturday to extra Bible reading, extra time with Him. And Saturday night when I try to go to sleep, you know, Lord just kind of spoke to my heart and says, hey, you haven't really spent enough time with me today, or you haven't spent any personal time with me. And I had, like I said, I had limited the distractions. I had got things ready for Kids Crusade, had did extra Bible reading that day. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to say that by me separating that side alone with God and going, and as I'm trying to go to sleep, he kind of speaks to my heart and says, hey, look, you need to spend some more time with me. And I get out my Bible and get out some of my prayer journaling, and I see these verses in Revelation chapter 4 and see these verses in Revelation chapter 5. And God gets reminded me, and He says, all creation is going to worship me someday. And all throughout heaven, there is angels, creatures that are crying, holy, holy, holy around the Lord. And He says, how do you see me? Because if you see a small God, you know what? You're going to believe in small things. But if you see a all holy, all powerful, all knowing, all everywhere God that can do all things, it's going to change the way you live. And I spent some time just thinking about and praising Him for the fact that He was God and that He was creator and that He is high and lifted up. And even mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about different topics in our culture that can frustrate us and can cause us to wonder why in the world is going to happen. What is God trying to do? And things such as homosexuality and transgenderism and the attacks on marriage and some of the modern day cultures that are flying in the face of what the Bible teaches. And you sit there and you get puzzled and you wonder, what is happening? Is something going wrong? But if you don't see God high and lifted up, you'll get frustrated. You get lost in all those things. But if you see Him as God and you see that He's high and that He's lifted up and that He can work all things together for good, and you see the examples in the Bible how David at the end of his life said, you know what? God was good to me. Even though he had experienced so many different things and he had fallen different times, and at the end he was saying, praise the Lord, he knows and understands. And Joseph saying, you may meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you see the sovereignty of God, and you praise Him for that. And this morning we talked about, as we begin to understand who He is, the only reasonable choice is to surrender. We surrender to Him in our prayer time. We surrender to Him in our lives. And we surrender to Him and say, God, this is not my life. This is Your life. I've been bought with a price. I need to glorify God with my body and my soul and my spirit and my strength. All of me, God, You can have it. And as we surrender ourselves, we come to the point we begin to confess. And that confession time is not just, hey, just going down a little bit of list. Hey, I could have done this better. I should have done this better. If we see him as God, as the creator, we fall on our faces as John here does. And as when Isaiah saw him, he flat on his face. And you know, and that's what you see, the elders are there. They're on their faces. And what are they doing? They're worshiping God. And as we confess to him, we said, Lord, I am undone. God, I need your help. God, show me those things that I struggle with. Show me those things that displease you. God, help me. Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. And I surrender myself and I confess because I want to be right. I don't want to just be clean or a little bit clean. I want to be really clean. I want to be clean in God's eyes. I want to be holy because he is holy and he's commanded us to be holy. And that's my desire, is not just to be better than the next person, not to look better than the next person, but to be right with him. And as I began to think and pray on these things, it brings me to that spot of, with God, I can do that. And this morning, we just scratched the surface a little bit about what we have in Jesus Christ and how we do not have to sin and how that we are no longer indebted and no longer in the bondage of sin as a believer and as a Christian. We can live freely. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And over there is a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle that is going on, but we are fighting from a place of victory. We're set up in the heavenlies with him, and we have the authority and power that he has told us that we no longer are servants of sin. We don't have to live in that bondage of sin. We can yield our bodies to instruments of righteousness, and we can yield our bodies as servants of him. We do not have to yield ourselves to unrighteousness and be servants of sin. And as we see God high and lifted up, we can believe that. You say, Pastor, I don't feel that way. I feel like I got to sin. I got to give in. I can't get rid of this attitude. I can't get rid of this bitterness. I can't do. You don't serve a God that's high and lifted up, because he's promised us. He showed us. He's told us all those things. We can be clean. And we've been told we can reckon ourselves dead to that sin. We can have victory. And if you see him high and lifted up, you know what? That's what your prayer time can be like. And then as it goes through to that, and I know we've gone through, and people pray different ways, and I don't pray through that hour of prayer time every day exact same way. I let the Lord lead and guide, but I have a time of spiritual, what I call promise verses. Because once I see God for who he is, and then I surrender myself, And then I confess to make sure my heart is right, and I enter into a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle, claiming the promises of God. And man, there's so many great promises. And these are not just words that we turn around and say, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one to quote. That's a good one to think about. No, these are promises that we can live by, because they're not just promises from another individual. Individuals fail us. Individuals, sometimes circumstances happen out of their control to where they can't be faithful and they can't own up to the promise they have promised. Sometimes people say, I'll be with you forever. And that's not true, because people die. People go on. I'll be there by 5 o'clock. If the car breaks down, things happen. But with a God that is high and lifted up, and he has promised us things, and as these are not just quaint words that make us feel better. These are the promises of God. And as you grab a hold of these in your spiritual warfare, and as you're praying, you claim these promises to God. And God, you said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. God, the best I know how, I'm acknowledging you, Lord, in every part of my life. I need you to direct me. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraid not, it shall be given him. And God, I'm coming to you, and I need wisdom for today. I need wisdom in this area and this time. And God, you've told me I can have it if I will ask. God, I'm asking you. I'm seeking you this promise. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when we come to this time of just grabbing on to the promises of God and saying, God, this is what you said. If we see God as somebody that may answer that promise or may not, we're never going to have faith. We're not going to trust in him. It's when we see him high and lifted up, and we understand that when we might not understand the promise completely, and as we're searching and seeking for him, but when the Bible says, thou will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee, it means I'm not going to worry, and I'm not going to be anxious, I'm going to give all things over through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving because of the fact that the peace of God can rule and reign in my heart and rule and reign in my life. You say, Pastor, it's just not that easy. See him high and lifted up. See him that he's the one that created us. He is the one who has made us. He's the one we have been created for his pleasure, and if we will surrender to him, he says we can have perfect peace. When it says in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with thy right hand of righteousness. Those are not things that help us see through the dark times. Those are promises that God has given us. And he says, I will help you. I will strengthen you. You can take that next step. Have faith and believe. Psalms 37:4 is one of my favorite verses. It's actually probably my favorite psalm in Psalms 37. It's so long. And Psalms 119 is up there too. But he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wow, I love that verse. He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. So, Pastor, who does that? That's got to be translated wrong. There's no way God's going to give me because I got all these desires and God's not doing it. It's because we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord. You say, how do I get there? It's when we get there and we see God for who he is and we surrender ourselves and we make sure we're clean and right and we enter into a spiritual warfare and say, God, help my delights be your delights for me. Lord, give me the desires you want for me. Because if I can get those desires, what you desire for me, and I can embrace those desires, if I can delight myself in the Lord, he says, then I'll give you the desires of your heart. It's because the heart isn't right. Our heart isn't exactly in tune with God. Our heart is not exactly what God desires. And that's what this time of prayer, and that's what seeing him high and lifted up, we realize it's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about what we desire. We're surrendered to a God who created us. And it is a reasonable service like we looked about in Romans chapter 12. It is something that is not asking too much. It's reasonable that we would surrender ourselves and that we would say, God, make my desires your desires. God, make your desires my desires. I want to be wanting the same things you want for me. And then as you go into that, you begin to pray for yourself, which is called a petition, and then you begin to pray for others, which is called intercession. But it's different in how you pray. Instead of praying to God like he is some type of genie in the bottle or some type of lucky rabbit's foot, thinking, hey, God should give me whatever I want because look who I am. You go back to Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, they're taking off those crowns that they earned. They're casting them at their feet. They're realizing, God, the only reason why I have been ever able to do something to earn a reward was because of you. And because it's of you, I don't deserve this. Where do I have to wear a crown in heaven when there's a God of the universe sitting there that is worthy of all praise and all honor? God, this is yours. This has always been about you. And then you come and you come to the petition, but we pray differently when we see things this way. We're not praying for relief. We're praying for revival. We're not praying, God, can you change my circumstances? Instead, we're saying, God, what is it you want me to learn? How can I bring you glory in these circumstances? And it was not past Sunday because I obviously wasn't here because I had a quarantine. The Sunday before that in Sunday school, I preached a message about responding the right way. And we looked at the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and we talked about all the things he had gone through and how he was asking for his thorn to be removed and how God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And in the next verse, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And I remember that Sunday morning. I even remember in that Sunday school class saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not someone who really takes that pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. Yes, I want the power of God to rest upon me. Yes, I want to understand that when I am weak, then He is strong. I want to do that. I want to get there, but I'm not there all the way. And I remember, even when I was a study for that lesson, I'm thinking, boy, I'm opening myself up for an attack, because that's the way we're supposed to respond. And even throughout the week, while I was stuck in quarantine, not feeling the greatest, limited on what I could do and not do, the devil comes up to me and he says, so are you taking pleasure in this? Is this what you really want? If this is your infirmity, or if this is your necessity, or your persecution, or this your distress, then are you going to glory in this now? Are you going to be thankful to God now? Are you going to worship Him when it's hard and when things are not going your way the way that you desire it to be? And it reminded me, I need to be praying for the right things. I don't need to pray for relief. I need to pray that God would bring revival in my life. He created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I need to be praying that I would be Spirit filled, and that Paul here was saying that the power of God may rest upon me. And that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That he understood that God's grace is sufficient, that God was making him and molding him, and that he would glory in those infirmities if it meant that God's power would be on his life. And as we pray, how are we praying for ourselves? And don't get me wrong. Of course, our prayer list is going to be filled with a long, long list of different things. And there's going to be taking care of our physical needs. And it's going to be taking care of our family. It's going to be being the right things. I understand that. That's the way we've always prayed. And there's nothing wrong. God tells us to cast our cares upon Him. God tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, showing the needs that are there, that God, you're going to meet my most basic needs. But if we see God high and lifted up, we understand that our life is not wrapped up in what we can get out of God. Our life is wrapped up in how we can serve Him and how we can glorify Him. Because we see those beasts and we see those elders and we see those thousands upon thousands upon ten thousands of ten thousands that are worshiping and praising God. And here on this earth, here and now, we have the opportunity to say, God, fill me with your Spirit. God, I desire your power. Lord, I want to be the right husband. I want to be the right father. I want to be the right pastor. I want to be the right friend. God, I want you to get glory. For whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That if you see him high and lifted up, here am I, Lord, send me. Just like Isaiah said. God, if there's something you want done, go ahead. Because I see who you are. And as you consider this, you say, Pastor, that seems like a bit much. It seems like it's a little bit of an overkill. Sometimes it seems like your guess seems like it's a little too much. But look what it says in verse 11, chapter number 4, Thou art worthy. He is worthy of this. It's something that he is due. Something that is not asking too much, but it's his reasonable service. Now, do we get there? No. Do we miss it sometimes? Yes. Do we pray probably for the wrong thing sometimes? Yes. But when we get open and honest with him, and we go before him and say, God, I don't want any of these high places in my life. I don't want any strongholds. As we talked about this morning about surrendering, I don't want the world conforming my way I think. I don't want the media conforming it. Don't even want my friends conforming it, my family. I need to hear from you, God, and I am seeking you. Luke 11:13 says, If ye then being evil know how to get good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's what I believe that I speak for him and ask for is, God, fill me with your Spirit. Lead me, guide me, use me. Those are the things I believe, at least for me, as I see God high and lifted up, I realize he's God and I want to serve him. I want to see that his grace is sufficient, and whatever he allows to happen in my life, I'm not praying that God would remove the circumstance. If it's his will, great. Paul was saying, hey, can you take the thorn? He asked 3 different times, and God said, and he didn't say, Paul, you're wrong for asking, stop asking. No, he said, my grace is sufficient. And there were times when Peter was in the prison cell and the church was praying that God, you know, had opened up the jail doors. There are times when he gives you relief. There are times when you see that, but there's times when he says, no, my grace will be sufficient. It's when we're seeking for God's glory in our life. And then as we consider what he can do with us, then we think about how we pray for others. Now, intercession is what you're praying for others. Ian Bounds put it this way: the soul of a man stirred to plead with God for men. That's what prayer is. Prayer is the soul of a man stirred to plead with God for men. But I believe intercession is just much more than merely praying for others. It's engaging in a spiritual battle with a God of heaven for the souls of men, for the help of others. So what are you getting at, Pastor? You think about it. If we see him high and lifted up, you know what we're going to do? We're going to believe God can change that person's life. We're not going to pray a little prayer. We're not going to pray, well, God, make that person not be so nasty. We're going to say, God, save that person. God, help that person get right. Use me, Lord. I think about the story of Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament. And I wonder how the people in the first century church prayed for Saul. I don't know if it was mean. He's killing around Christians. I'm saying, hey, God, will you just take this guy out? I mean, God, just wipe him off the planet. If he's going to take Christians, he's going to drag people into jail, I think he should just be gone. Just get rid of him. But what does God do? He appears to him. Saul becomes Paul, one of the greatest Christians ever to live. The New Testament, much of the New Testament was written by him under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It shows you that we serve a God that can change all things. And some preach, others teach, some sing publicly, but all can pray. We labor together with God. We stand in the gap for others. We need to get the heart of the Savior for people that we're praying for. We need to believe that God can do all things. And it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when I see him high and lifted up, my prayer time is changed. When I pray for others, God, I know that you can do this work in this person's life, and maybe they've struggled with this bondage and this problem for many years. Maybe it is they need to be saved, but I believe you can save them. God, I believe that you can change their heart. I know we have a free will, but God can do anything. And so that's what we're praying. I'm not going to pray a little prayer because I don't think God can save a person. It drives me crazy when I hear people say, that person's never going to change. And it's not because I'm mad with that person. They're not seeing God high and lifted up. They're not praying for that person anymore. They're no longer being a light. No longer do they think that God can work. No longer do they think that God can change. And they've given up and they've stopped praying and they stopped living as a light. And then they say, it's that person's fault. But we've failed in interceding in prayer because we feel like it's just never going to change. But we serve a God that is high and lifted up and that can do all things. And we need to pray like that. But when we don't see it that way, we're like, I've been praying for that person for years. I guess they're never going to change. And it drives me even more crazy when I hear people say, I can't change. When they say, well, that person's never going to change. And they say, well, that's just me. I guess I'm never going to change. You're not seeing him high and lifted up. You're seeing him only what you can do through. It's not about what we can change and what we can do. It's about what can be done in our life through him. We are freed from that bondage. We can be dead to the sin. Whether it's a Philippian jailer, that was the hard case, or you go and look throughout the Bible of character after character, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, people, Mary Magdalene, people that would never ever thought that they would have been right with God, that made a difference in the world for him. How about you? Sometimes we get surprised and shocked about other people that have gotten right. I wonder what other people think about us. And don't get me wrong, I don't think our intercession or our prayers should be limited to those that are struggling. And I know that I have, start off, they tell you to focus on a certain group of five people sometimes and make sure you pray for them every single day. And they're some of the hard cases. And I'm thankful for when God answers those prayers. And I put those dates by it. But that list of five wasn't enough for me. As a pastor, that list is a lot longer. And sometimes you're praying for the same thing over and over and over. And you're praying, but you... do you pray with faith, believing that God can answer that prayer, that God can change that person, that there is the Saul of Tarsus that can become Paul the apostle, that there is the Philippian jailer who repents and gets things right, that there is all those people that God made a difference, and we do pray, and when we pray for our missionaries. We pray that God can work through them. We don't just pray just using their name. We see a God that can do all these things. Yes, we pray for our church family. We pray for our physical family. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for our political leaders. But when we pray, are we believing that it's the God of the ages that can make a difference in their life? Is that how we pray? Or are we just going through a list because we know we're supposed to pray? Are we praying, believing that He can do all things? So as we go through, and as I said that evening, and I don't want to make this about me. That's the last thing in the world. I want to reflect God sitting on the throne and how around Him is people worshiping Him and the beast and the elders and the picture of the thousands upon thousands of 10,000 upon 10,000 praising the Lamb and how He is worthy of all this worship, worthy of all this praise, and we struggle to pray. Our lives sometimes are not surrendered and we wonder, should I even read my Bible today? They're there constantly praising and worshiping, and that's what heaven's going to look like. That's what heaven's going to be like. We're going to be worshiping God. I do think we're going to have things that we're doing. I understand all that. I don't think any of us know exactly what heaven's going to be. But I know there's going to be worship and praising of God. Why are we so excited to get there if we can't worship and praise Him here and now? And then after I think about that, there are always in a time in scriptural, there's a time of thanksgiving. On that Saturday night, my Thanksgiving was a little bit different. Because when I see Him high and lifted up, I was just overwhelmed with the fact that He hears my prayers. And of course He hears our prayers. He's God. Don't take that for granted. Don't take it for granted that He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He is on the throne and He is getting worship and praise from all these people, and He says, cast your cares upon me. He tells us to come boldly into the throne of grace. He tells us He wants to hear and answer our prayers. He tells us to call unto Him, and He will answer thee and show us great and mighty things. Now, I was just thankful that God actually hears and answers my prayers. And that might seem like so frivolous and so simple, but the God of the universe gives an audience to me. And then I wonder if I should pray. It seems like almost an insult, doesn't it? It seems so overwhelming that God extends and makes this avenue to prayer. And we struggle with finding time. And then I was just thankful for His word and ashamed of how much I don't know. Now probably being saved for over 40 years. I should know more. You know why I don't know more? It's because I don't see Him high and lifted up enough. I don't see that this is God's word that was He inspired and that He has preserved throughout the ages to reveal Himself to me. And don't get me wrong, of course I'm thankful for all the physical blessings. I'm thankful that I have so much, and I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for, obviously, my wife. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for my ministry. I'm thankful for all those things, and that is a time and a form of thanksgiving. Of course, I'm thankful for all those things, but when we see Him high and lifted up, we are abundantly aware of how God is to us, and I become thankful for His word. I think thankful for His spirit. I think thankful for His promises. I'm thankful that He even would care and love for someone like me that's nothing but just dust that was created. Man, that's what man is. And can you imagine what we would look like compared to God Almighty? And who is it that we are? And he loves us. He knows the number of hairs upon our head. And if I would just be thankful that I can talk to Him, how much more would I talk to Him? If I would just be thankful that I have His word, how much more would I take and increase it it helped me understand that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. We become sometimes so ungrateful or so greedy or so much focus on the things that we don't have and the problems and the issues, we forget that there is a God of the universe that says, I love you. There's a God of the universe that says, I want a fellowship with you. There's a God of the universe that sent his son down on the cross to die for us so we could have a relationship with him and so we could come to him in prayer. He has given us his word. He has given us his spirit. What is it that we should not surrender to him? And sometimes we question, I don't know if I should have to do this. I don't know if I should have to forgive, or I should have to be a witness, or I should have to come to church, or I should have to do this or do that. You're not seeing him high and lifted up. And if we saw him, and I'm not saying I'm there every day because I'm not, we would be thankful for these things and realize we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. It just scratches the surface when we begin thinking, I got air conditioning at the house. So hot outside. Aren't we thankful for air conditioning, for us that have air conditioning? I still remember growing up and remember when we first got that air conditioner. For some reason, it went in my parents' bedroom. I don't know about that. Can you believe that? Nowadays, the kids would get it first. But no, the parents had it. And if we wanted to sleep on the floor, you could sleep on the floor in the parents' room. So on like Friday and Saturday night. And thankful for fans and things like that. We have so much. But we miss past these spiritual blessings. We let the world dictate what we're supposed to have and what we're entitled to. But you look at the Bible and you see this God that's high and lifted up. No one's forcing these beasts to worship. No one's forcing these elders to worship. No one's forcing them to throw their crowns at his feet. He's worthy of it. They see that and know that. And you say, Pastor, I don't see it that way. I don't get it. Then ask him. Seek him. God, I don't delight in the things that you delight in. Change me. Because I know you're right. I can't be me. I know I struggle and I mess up and I don't know what to do next. Lord, give me what it is that you want. Cleanse me. Then later, as I go through, I sing. I know I'm not going to sing tonight. Praise the Lord for that, right? But there is a time of praising, and it's overwhelming to take time to consider God as he's high and lifted up and that he loves you and he's given you all these things. It is a natural response to praise him. It's kind of interesting. It talks about they sung a new song in verse number 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take. And they said, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. They sang praises, and it's something we should do. The music that's here is good, different forms of music, different types of music. We don't want to be worldly. We don't want to be contemporary when it comes to our thinking. There's some dangerous, slippery slopes when it comes to that. But at the same time, there is a worship and a praise that goes through our voice and our singing. That when we're honestly before the Lord, we're led by the Lord, he said, I don't feel comfortable singing. He's worthy of all praise. He is. And maybe you don't feel comfortable singing in front of others, but he sees and hears your heart. And it's a beautiful medley to him. Now, I know inside of our times before, we've talked about Bible reading and meditation. To be honest with you, it doesn't work for me at the end. For me, the many times the Bible reading and meditation starts at the beginning, or if I get a hold of some verses to talk about praising the Lord and I spend some time focusing on a spiritual promise or a prayer promise. I do think Bible reading and meditation is important, and I think that's a good thing. But last Saturday night, I focused on these verses, and the Lord just said, aren't I worthy of worship? It says it right there, I am. How come you haven't taken time to do that? You spent hours working on Kids Crusade. You spent hours even reading my word. You spent hours doing this and hours doing that. But how much time have you truly spent worshiping me? And I encouraged my heart to see him high and lifted up, and I thanked him. He slowed me down to spend time with him. And then I think this is important. This is probably one of the harder things, is to listen to his voice. After going through and listening and spending time with him, there's always something as I'm going through my Bible reading, or as I'm going through the things to be thankful for, or through the prayers. If I'm going through my prayer list, I have different prayer lists I go through. One of the days, my prayer list of the week is to go through all my cell phone contacts. There's a lot of them, and there's people I pray for. Some of the days, it's to go through the church roster. Some of the days, it's different things. But he speaks to my heart, hey, text that person, or call that person, or do this, or do that. And as he speaks to my heart, I make a list of, I will. Today, Lord, I will listen for your voice. Today, I will do this. I will do that. I don't meet with God just to check something off the list. I meet with him to hear and understand what the God of the universe wants me to do today. And I think that part of that is grabbing hold of those promises and not seeing some little God that can't do all things, but seeing a God that's high and lifted up, that when he tells me that he's never going to leave me nor forsake me, because he's there. When he tells me that he'll go with me, when he tells me I can have perfect peace, when he tells me this and tells me that, I can trust in those promises, and I can take my steps and base my life off those promises. And that causes me to want to begin to pray for certain things, that God, I want your leadership. God, I begin to pray for the filling of the Spirit. I begin to pray that, Lord, I want your glory in my life. Lord, I don't need relief as much as I need you. I don't need you to change the circumstances as much as I need you to change me. Lord, send revival. If you're going to get glory out of this, God, I'm willing to do it. Those are hard prayers. But when we see the God of the universe that does all those things, we can put ourselves in his hands and say, I know you know what's best. Then we pray for others. But we don't approach God saying, God, this person really needs a change. I wish you'd change him. We approach God by saying, God, I know you can change this person. God, use me to help make a difference in this person's world, and engage in spiritual warfare along with God the Father, praying for certain individuals. And then we have that time of thanksgiving. And it is interesting to go around a room and hear what people are thankful for. But when you see God high and lifted up, I think sometimes that changes. The little things, of course we're supposed to be thankful for the little things. We're supposed to give thanks for the bread that's before us. But we realize that every good gift and perfect gift comes from above. And that everything that happens in our life, we can be thankful for. Even the challenges, even the trials. We're just thankful he hears us. If we would take our prayer life and just say, God, I'm just thankful that you're willing to listen to me. Instead, we look at it, should I pray or not pray? Do I got time today or do I not? It's a privilege to pray. And then I remember the first time I thought it was kind of weird to sing during my prayer time. But I tell you, it was something that encouraged me. And we're not going to go through and show you the scriptural reasons for that. We've done that before. But just singing a hymn to the Lord and just praising the Lord. Sometimes it's silently. Sometimes it's louder. But there's a list of good hymns. You say, I don't know what to sing. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You asked for that earlier in that spiritual warfare. And then consider the scriptures that he's given us. And then listen for his voice. But don't listen to a voice of just a God that you don't know personally, or a God that you have minimized what he can and can't do. See him high and lifted up. Worship a God that can do all things. Worship a God that created all things. Worship a God that someday all creation, all creatures, that includes the devil, will bow the knee. But the point is, here on earth today, our worship is found when we bow it here and now, when we learn to surrender. It's our reasonable service. Hopefully this was an encouragement and help to you. I know it helped me last Saturday. I wouldn't use the word discouraged. I was bummed because I didn't get to preach, because I like to preach on Sundays. And I was bummed because I knew I was going to have to at least miss a day of Kids Crusade. The Lord spoke to my heart. And I wouldn't give that up for anything. And I prayed that, and he spoke to my heart about sharing these things with you about how God is worthy of all glory and honor and power, and that we need to see him. And as he pulls back the veil in chapter 4 and chapter number 5 and Isaiah chapter number 6 and Ezekiel chapter 1, I don't know if we understand it all. I don't know if we get it all. When it talks about all those beasts and all those eyes and all those horns and all those, who's the 24 elders are and where do they get their crowns from. And I know there's a lot of interesting things that you can find about the scriptures and find, especially about the book of Revelation. But I think the most important thing is seeing him and seeing him high and lifted up and seeing that he is worthy of our worship and praise and surrendering to him. And as we surrender, he will lead and direct us. I hope today, my prayer today, my prayer throughout the week was that we get a proper vision of God, that we would see him a little bit better, and it would cause us to want to surrender and teaches us how to pray according to his will instead of our desires. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that the message this evening would be fall on good ground. Lord, I don't know how you prepared the hearts of the people, and I'm sorrowful for all the times I make mistakes and that I've done wrong. And those days I don't see you high and lifted up, and I rely on my own strength, rely on my own power. And Lord, I pray that each of us would desire to meet with you tomorrow, meet with you even tonight, see you high and lifted up and come before your presence and singing and come before your presence with praise and come before our presence seeing you as the one that is worshipped throughout all of eternity, and surrender ourselves here and now. And say, God, teach me how to pray. Lord, teach me those desires you want from my own heart. Help me to delight in you so much that what you want for me, I want for myself. Help me to not give up on someone in their prayer time, but God instead realize that you can do all things. Help me to be thankful. Not just for the physical things that make my life easy, but thankful for the fact that I can even just talk to you in prayer. And God, that you would inspire us to worship you in song, that we would value your word and meditate on it as scriptures commands, and that we would listen for your voice of what we should do. Speak to people's hearts, Lord, through this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.